I hope it's clear that we're glad you're here, and if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have a reason to be in the studio talking away and sharing some of the nuggets that God has maybe put on our hearts, or some of the different adventures we've seen him accomplish or work through individuals. And we have the privilege with these radio frequencies to proclaim the good news message of Jesus, and hopefully to help you on your faith journey, maybe to have you hold on to some of the truths that are evident in the Bible, maybe through some of the scripture that's shared or the illustrations that are given. You will trust God in grander ways today, or you'll lean more heavily into him, or through some of the Bible teaching or some of the ministry of music, you'll be encouraged or blessed, or maybe evangelized. Maybe there's some of you that are doubting your faith or have never come to terms with that God loves you, or are struggling through a situation and you have questions. We would pray that during this time that we get to share with you, or through the coming hours, that you would draw strength from something that's shared and said, because our desire, and we trust it's the Lord's desire, that you would draw closer to him, and that you'll realize he's a good God, he's a caring God, he's a merciful God, and yet he's full of justice, he's righteous, and there are decisions that we need to make that can draw us closer to him, or that can cause us to run away from him. And we would pray you would be drawn close to him. And one of the things that Jason and I will be doing over the coming weeks is we're going to be interviewing John MacArthur. Many of you have heard his program on our four frequencies or read many of his books. He just came out with a new book called At the Throne of Grace. So we're working on setting up a time where we can introduce him to you through our morning program and talk about his book and talk about some other questions that we have. So be listening in the coming weeks, and we'll have John MacArthur on. Also, there's another pastor, Pastor Mark Batterson, and he just came out with a book called The Circle Maker, Praying Circles Around Your Biggest Dreams and Greatest Fears. And so we hope to have him on in a week or two. So I count it a privilege that my brother, pastor, friend, Jason Schiffo, Pastor Jason Schiffo, he's the senior pastor at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, is allowing his schedule to be freed up so that he can participate in a couple more morning programs. And as you know, if you tune in on any regular basis, the last Jason, are we getting into about 3 months now that you've been a part of the morning program?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I didn't want you to fall asleep over there. I'm going to have you enter into the morning program. wake up, Jason. But I have counted a privilege to share some of Jason's skill sets, if you will, his ability to teach and proclaim God's word, his desire to reach the lost, his desire to equip Christians to be more committed in their faith journey, and so many other things as I've gotten to know Jason. And I count it a privilege that each and every Wednesday he's a part of Mark and Friends and bringing some of the things he's learning and some of the insights he's gaining. And before we kind of get on to whatever tangent I might derail you with today, this Friday you're having a special event at your church, something that God put on your heart. I think last week and this past Friday, you mentioned a little more, but maybe some people missed the Friday program. Give us a snapshot into why you're doing what you're doing this Friday and what people can expect, because it's open to everyone.
Yeah, on Friday night at the church, Community Evangelical Free Church of Mahomet, on Route 47 there, we're going to do Walking in Jesus' Steps. And what it is starts at 7 p.m. There'll be food, there'll be music, there'll be pictures, and there's going to be a slideshow with teaching and devotional moments. But what it really is to take the trip that I was fortunate enough and blessed enough to be able to take to Israel and bring it back here for maybe some of us who have not yet entertained the idea of going to Israel, or who say, you know what, I just don't know that I ever see that I'm going to be able to go. Well, the rabbis would say this: a blessing that you're given that you keep for yourself is not a blessing, it becomes a curse. And therefore, what we are blessed with, we should share. So I want this blessing, this trip to Israel for me, to be a blessing to many. So come out at 7 o'clock, bring your friends, it's free, there'll be some food. Like I said, my wife is going to cook up some Israeli food. There'll be pictures, we're going to walk through how the land of Israel pertains to the Bible. We'll look at specific areas, Masada, we're going to look at the old city in Israel, we're going to look up in the Galilee region where Jesus walked, And we're going to say, look, I want to make the connection for people between the biblical text, this book that we study and we love and we cherish, with actual footsteps that I took in Israel. So I think it's going to be a great time. And once again, I want to encourage everybody to bring your family, bring your friends. It's just going to be a great event, a time of equipping, encouraging, and most of all, discussion. I want to be able to discuss. I want people to raise their hands and shout out and talk about, wow, what is this connection happening for you? And what does it mean for you? And maybe what does it look like in the future? Maybe you'll leave out of there with a passion to go to Israel. Or maybe you'll just leave out of there with a passion that, you know what, Jesus was real. He walked in that land. He talked with those people. And I got to get home and read my Bible because this Jesus is overwhelming me yet again in such a great and powerful way.
Yeah, I highly, strongly encourage you to make the time this Friday, 7 p.m. at the Evangelical Community Free Church in Mahomet, Illinois. It's right off of Route 47 between I-72 and I-74. On 47. What's the exact address? Some people generally use GPS and they just want to punch in your address and then follow their GPS to get there. What's the location?
Yeah, it's 102 Riverbend Boulevard, Mahomet, Illinois, 61853. The phone number there at the church is 217-586-5165, 217-586-5165. And you can also log on our website at communityfreechurch.com, and that's communityfreechurch.com.
And this is going to be interactive, conversational, but Jason will be dividing God's Word, sharing some devotional thoughts, some insights, some historical, biblical, some of the narrative. So it'll be an exciting evening, and it won't be, here's Jason standing next to the Western Wall. Here's Jason near King David's Palace. Here's Jason, you know, this will be a
no,
really good...
No, I took pictures of you doing that.
Yeah. Here's Mark not paying attention. Here's Mark coughing, and well, anyways, so that's this Friday. Bring out your friends, your family, your Jewish neighbor. Tell them that they're going to be celebrating the uniqueness of the land of Israel, the biblical narrative. Even your unchurched friend would feel welcome because we're going to be greeting and encouraging them to just learn some of the things that happened in the Holy Land, in the very land where God walked in the flesh in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just believe that everyone that comes is going to take something away from it and be encouraged and blessed. As Jason mentioned, there'll be food and the music and slides and other festivities along with conversation, and it's all free. Even
free,
that conversation.
That's the favorite Christian word, free.
Well, Jason, typically the case on Wednesday, you come here and you and I probably spend no less than a half hour to 45 minutes recounting some of the things the Lord's teaching us, some of the books we're reading. We were talking about our pending interviews with John MacArthur and Pastor Mark Batterson and some of the unique things we want to say or some of the things we think strongly about their teaching, their legacy, their background. And so I hope that in the coming days you can tune in and continue to listen, whether it's on Wednesday with Pastor Jason and I, or it seems like with those interviews, those might fall into other days, maybe a Monday, Tuesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll see. But the Lord's been teaching you a number of things, and one thing I know is about the Acts 2 church.
Yeah, we talked about that on Sunday morning, and I just want to talk about that with all of you, the greater church this morning. There's a quote I pulled away from a conference that I attended last year, and a gentleman giving the conference said this. He said, if we're not hitting the target, we're not allowed to move the target. Because Jesus put it there. We're called to realign our sights. If we don't like where Jesus has set the target, we don't get to move the target. And I think sometimes as the church, we think it's okay if we move the target. And it's not okay because Jesus put it there for a reason. I was thinking about a thought. I've been ruminating on it with a bunch of friends for a number of years. And we have a bunch of, I'm going to use a couple of really big church words for everybody. But we have a word called ecclesiology. And ecclesiology is the study of the church. And then we have missiology, and missiology is now what do you do as the church? And then we have Christology, which is the study of Jesus. Now, 9 times out of 10, in a lot of the books I've read, the concern with how you plant a church or what you do when you're thinking about, when you feel like God's calling you to put a church into the ground, put a physical flesh and blood church in the ground, they go, well, we have to think about what it means to do that, ecclesiology. And then we have to say, now, what is our mission as the church? Well, that's our missiology. And then now we're going to begin to teach the gospel of Jesus, now Christology. So they set their church up based on ecclesiology, missiology, and Christology in that order. And I would argue that I think that that's wrong because Jesus gives us a picture of what the church is. Jesus sets up the target. So not our ecclesiology should not be first, but our Christology. And then Jesus clearly gives us a mission, Matthew 22, 37 through 40, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Clearly, Jesus lays out the mission. So Jesus gives us what our mission is, our missiology. And those two things together is what forms the church. But you know what? I think that we have a skewed perception of what church is. If I ask you, hey, if I was to yell out to each one of you guys out there in the crowd and say, hey, what is church? I bet you I would get 10 different answers. Some of you would say it's a building. Some of you would say it's a small group. Some of you might say, I might get closer to the target and say, well, it's my little group of people here. It's all of us gathered in this room. It's what we do on Sunday. No. If you read the scriptures, you're the church. You as an individual. And then you as an individual gathered together with a small group of people and a bigger group of people and a people group that decides to gather on a Sunday morning and a people group that decides to go out those doors after Sunday morning and begin to change the world. You're the church. That doesn't change. But if we say, well, what's the doctrine of the church? How does a church build up ecclesiology? We'll start to think that it's more about the building because Christology tells us it's about us. In fact, Jesus only uses in the gospel the word ecclesia, the word church, one time in the gospels, and it can even be argued that he wasn't talking about a building. He's talking about people. He's talking about you and what you do as you're the church. Now, pertaining to that, on Sunday morning I taught out of Acts 2, verses 42 through 47, this first church. And this scripture is probably for all of us, is one that we read and we go, oh yeah, the Acts 2 church. I love the Acts 2 church. I mean, I've talked to pastors, you know, my peers, and I've heard a number of them say, oh, I can't, you know, I would just love it if we could be an Acts 2 church. We're going to really strive this year to be an Acts 2 church. I've even heard them say, an Acts 2 church is the perfect model for the church. And I would argue that point, because the Acts 2 church, number one, they're in their tentative steps. They're in the very beginning of what it means to be a church. Notice that they're a group of people. They don't have a building. So they're in the tentative steps of being a church. I wouldn't say they're perfect, because perfect relates to doctrine. Perfect relates to what we believe, how we believe it, and why we believe it. And that's the Apostle Paul talks about that in Ephesians. He talks about what the perfect church is doctrinally in Ephesians. I would say instead that this is a church that's pursuing the right things, because Acts is historical. We can't say that Acts is doctrinal. You can't go to Acts and pull out something that you believe is doctrine, because it's not. What Acts is Acts is the apostles and the people who are being called into this first church, being the church with all its lumps, bumps, as they go along, as they go. So you can't take Acts and say, well, we're going to do something as a church because Acts says to do it, because you have to go somewhere else and let Acts affirm it. If you go to Ephesians and you read something and you say, okay, this is what the apostles say to do in Ephesians, and look, in Acts they did it, and it produced good fruit. Now we can say, yes, we can do that. But you can't use Acts as a doctrinal model. And I would say this. This is what I would say. I remember when we were having my daughter Abigail, and those people who have been to the website have seen the picture of Atasha holding up Abigail, and Abigail's got this big, huge smile on her face. By the way, I don't see any comments yet. Natasha wants to know what you guys think of that picture.
Yeah, we have it right on our homepage, yeah. greatnewsradio.org. It's a fabulous picture, and in fact, I think when Tasha returns from her Women at Faith conference and we have her in the studio to share about some of the nuggets and the life lessons she learns, I'm going to resubmit it onto our webpage, because it's a fantastic picture.
Mm-hmm. I remember when Abigail was still in the womb. She was still, you know, Tasha was still carrying her. And we went to the doctor, and I remember the ultrasound technician, I guess you would say, she was doing the scan, you know, the jelly on the belly and the scan thing. And she said, oh, she's perfect. And she's not perfect. What Abigail was doing in there, because she wasn't fully matured, she wasn't fully formed, she wasn't out yet, so we don't really know. But she was pursuing the right things. Her heart was growing at the proper rate. Her brain was growing. Her weight and her size in the womb was conducive to where a baby at that number of 21 weeks or wherever it was should be. So it wasn't that Abigail was perfect. She was pursuing the right things. She was healthy. And we have to apply that to this passage in Acts 2:42. Which says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, number one, this was a saved church. This was a church that knew salvation, because it says they devoted themselves. Right before that, it says that that they were baptized, and 3,000 were added to that number that day. In Acts 1:15, we see that there was 120 people prior to that. So it was 120 people who had been following Jesus for a substantial amount of time, not much, about 50 days. And then some of them had been following Jesus for 3 years prior to that. But that 120 is the only amount of people who have been following Jesus for any substantial amount of time. When this Acts 2 church booms in Acts 2:42, this church grows by 3,000, and these are all new believers. These are people who have moved into salvation and into relationship with Jesus Christ. So this is a saved church. And then it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And I love that first and foremost, after they're saved, they devote themselves to God's word. They devote themselves to what it means to follow God through the word that he illuminated by his Holy Spirit. That God says, look, this is the place of ultimate truth. This is where you need to go. If there's anything that you need to test on the outside, go inside the pages of these books and begin to test it through that. And then it says after the apostles' teaching, and we could go into, I had 12 pages of material for Sunday morning, and I just scraped the surface as I taught this. There's so much happening in this passage.
And I couldn't write fast enough, and I didn't have enough room. I need your bulletins to have more. Look at that. I need more room to write notes on the bulletins.
I know. We have a feedback card, don't we?
Yeah. I'll bring my legal pad next time.
We have a round file where you put that on the... No, I'm kidding. And then it says, and to the fellowship. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. And this part is really interesting to me because it says to the fellowship. And a lot of us would say, well, we have great fellowship gatherings. We have men's meetings. We have women's Bible study. We have the Baptists in the crowd would say we have the potlucks. We have great fellowship events. But that's not what the passage is talking about, because some people say, well, you know what? The problem with our church right now is that we just don't have good fellowship. Well, that's not true. You always have good fellowship, because the minute you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, you come into union, communion, and fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and with all the believers who are currently in Christ and who have been in Christ. So when you come into a relationship with Jesus, you come into fellowship. Now, what can happen, though, is you can lose the joy of fellowship. You know, you can do that dangerous thing where you say, hey, you know what, it's only me and God. You know, I don't know how to process being in a gathered church, so it's just about me and God, and I'm going to go in my home, and I'm going to worship God, I'm going to slice the bread, and I'm going to have a cup of grape juice or wine or however you flow on that one, and it's just me and God. Well, you know what, you're going to lose the joy of fellowship. Because part of that is being in fellowship with a gathered believers, journeying in what it means to follow Christ. I counsel people all the time, and they say to me, you know, well, we couldn't process this at our other church, so we left our church. And I always go, you left the thing you needed the most. You know, 9 times out of 10, when you come into a tough situation, our humanity wants us to retreat. Our sin wants us to retreat. It wants us to go back. And it robs, and then people go, well, I've lost my joy. Well, yeah, you've lost your joy. You've retreated from the very place where your joy will well from, where God will speak to you through people. He'll comfort you through people, and he'll meet you. Not only will God's Spirit meet you and his presence will meet you, but he'll meet you through the people around you. So I think that you can lose the joy in fellowship. And then it says to the breaking of bread. And the breaking of bread, we say a community-free church, that's where the common person comes and they become uncommon. Because they call that the common table, the Eucharist, the place or the point of grace where you take the bread and the cup and you become reconciled through the body and blood of Christ. And this first church broke the bread together. They were consistently becoming reconciled. I love here that it says, too, not on every first Sunday of the month, but that they probably took this often. Because often they were saying, I just want to be part of the body and blood of Christ. So some people I say, when I talk to them, they say, you know, well, I'm struggling with something or there's an issue with me and my wife. I want to say, have you taken communion recently with your wife? Well, you know, we're waiting until Sunday. Why wait till Sunday? You know, get some grape juice, get a loaf of bread, sit at the kitchen table, break that bread, and begin to enter into that reconciling relationship with Christ. Because Christ wants to do that through you. He wants to take what you deem to be your common problem and make it uncommon, make you uncommon, heal it in an uncommon way. And then it says here, and to prayers is the last part. And that's a bad translation. If you're reading the NIV, it's a bad translation. The ESV has a better translation, which is based on the original Greek. It says, to the prayers, which is plural. And that's because these early apostles, they devoted themselves to the Jewish prayers, praying three times a day, praying the Amidah, the 18 benedictions. And we know that because if we look down in Acts 3, right after this Acts 2:42 passage, it says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. Now, we know historically that this Acts 3 passage would have happened in the fall. So in the fall, the sun starts to come down and set, or between 5 and 5:30, the evening prayers would begin. When they go up, it's the ninth hour. So they're going up at about 3, a little after 3 p.m. Remember, it's kind of a walk if you go down the Kidron Valley and kind of come back up. It takes a little bit of time to get up there. So as they're coming into the temple there, and there would be a lot of people too at prayer time, so you'd want to go early so you could get a good spot, you could kind of push your way through people, plus it was a very communal time. So we know that they were going up to the temple to pray, and we know that they were going up to the temple at the appointed hour for the evening prayers. So we know that they subscribed to that praying three times a day. Once again, I mean, look at, we're only at, we're still in verse 42. And we haven't even gotten all the way down to the end. So, I mean, there is so much that we could talk about. We could even talk about this next week. But I think, Mark, you just won't let that happen. I mean, that's just kind of the way it works. But this is what I want to say. And this is maybe kind of where I want to close. Is Dr. James Emery White. And he runs a website called churchandculture.org. And he unequivocally calls the local church the neighborhood church. And then he says this, the individual church, the hope of the world. See, if your idea of church is that it's a building somewhere else, if your idea of church is that it's something that you attend, then you need to take a few minutes, step back, and reorientate yourself on what church means. Because Dr. Emery White here says that the church is the hope of the world. That means that you, sitting there listening to the radio, whether in your car, at your computer, maybe you're sitting on your couch, I'm not sure where, maybe it's 7:30 in the morning, it's 7:30 at night, I'm not quite sure, but you are the hope of the world. And I tell people all the time when I counsel them, I say, words matter. What we say matters. And so maybe you need to take a few moments out of each moment of your day and say to yourself, through Christ, I am the hope of the world. And when I gather with other people who say the same thing, we become the hope of the world, individually gathered as a community. Imagine what it would be if we were a nation that said, I am the hope of the world.
Amen. And we can say that because it's not the doctrine that saves us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, His shed blood on our behalf. Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.